did about. I offered when the old 50-year-old fall wash chimney out there, got the bypass, well, it's cut off. It's washing down to the. Because.
You don't get one.
I'm sure they can.
Oh, jeez.
I ordered a set of valves.
Like to call the meeting to order. Gary, roll call, please.
Roger.
Here.
Andy?
Here.
Roy?
Here.
Jan?
Here.
Angie?
Here. Would everyone stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please, if you can? I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I have an approval of the minutes? Can I have an approval of the agenda? Sorry, here, this will be better.
I'd like to add one item to it.
Yes.
On the new business, item E, Harbor Sanitary's recommendations for RV park repairs.
Do I have a second?
Second. Was there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we add item E, the Harbor Sanitary District proposed repairs for the RV park restrooms.
Second.
Roger?
Aye.
Andy?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Jan?
Yes.
Angie?
Yes. Approval of the minutes, regular meeting, Tuesday, September 19th, 2017.
Just to clarify, these are more revised a day or so ago, correct?
Yes.
This is the revised version. I so move.
I'll second.
Andy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Jan?
Yes.
Angie?
Yes. Special meeting, approval of the minutes for Wednesday, September, excuse me. These are not available?
Yeah, they're going to be available next meeting.
Okay. Financial and managers report.
All right. So I want to talk about a few things before I ask these questions. So in my weekly reports, I've been putting out some financials about what this court was 2 years ago, and then last year that we're at currently. So 2 years ago, at the end of September, our accounts payable is $365,000. Our accounts receivable is at $195,000. And what we had in the bank was $166,000. That was 2 years ago on the end of September. Last year, our accounts payable was $333,000. Accounts receivable was $146,000. And the cash that we had in the bank was $120,000. And then going to our current situation, our accounts payable is at $25,000, accounts receivable is at $45,000, and total checking and savings at $310,000. So we've done some improvements in the last year. I guess before you go on, any comments on those numbers?
Enormous improvements.
Makes me sick every time I look at it.
Yeah, I would like to note that for our audience that Gary is working towards having 30 days cash on hand, and I think that's he's getting pretty close to that goal. And amazing improvement in the last year. And the prior board started this, and
yes.
Deserves all the credit. And Gary.
Other comments on that? I just want to thank the staff and the board, the current board. I mean, it's everybody working together as a team, so it's not just me. So on to the current financial report. This is the first month that I actually show a net income of a negative $3,935. That number there is counting all our depreciation that we should be saving for the future of the court. The RV park, and since the fire hit us through August, September, we lost $51,000. And that's based on previous 2 years' income. So the fire did have an impact on the port and on the income. The Beauregard showed a $7,000 loss that month. And that's partially because of the rental forklift that we're using. It's a $5,000 a month rental to service the fleet and plus the port operations. And we're working on purchasing our own. We just got to get the IFA to approve our purchase. And I sent that letter off and I'm waiting for their approval. Let's see what else. On some other stuff, on a budget, comparison budget, for the first quarter, we have roughly the income of the port was 1.36 above our estimate, and our expenditures was 0.5% over our budget. So in the first 3 months, I think we're right on target for the budget. And that's all I got on the financials, unless you guys have questions.
I know this isn't included in the September, but for the nice weather we've had so far in October and the salmon season we've had, is there any indication that the RV park rebounded at all?
The numbers that we got, weekly numbers, the numbers are a little bit higher than last year, but it's kind of marginal.
So just to summarize, we have taken in approximately $20,000 to $25,000 in fire revenue from the fire camp, but we lost about $51,000 in RV park revenue. So we're at a considerable net loss on the fire.
Right.
And if there's no other comment, I would move to approve the report.
I can make a motion. Approve the financial report.
I'll second.
Roger?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Jan?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Angie?
Yes.
So on my manager's reports, does the board have any questions on my weekly reports?
Keep them coming.
Yes. If they are posted for everybody to look at on our website, they're not hidden.
Well, I'd like to make a comment on that after being up at the port meeting last week before last. We're the only port that posts their weekly management report on their website. I was just amazed at that. They were amazed that the little port of Brookings done that compared to the big ports.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the manager's report.
Second.
Jan?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes. Agenda-related public comments. I have a comment from Michael Pitts Campbell.
Christian, if I may delay this until the non-agenda, because my comment may or may not be related to what follows.
Old business, commissioner rules, regulations, duties, and responsibilities policy.
Make a motion to approve the resolution number 482 as written.
I move to table it. The item was revised at 3:58 this afternoon. This is a lengthy document of, starts on page 47A and goes to 62C or something. I don't even know how many pages, 15, 20 pages. It has one brand new resolution that I cannot even understand. I've read it four or five times and I don't understand it. The revised document, I took a quick look at it. It has a number of things I don't think are legal. And I would like to propose that we do a workshop process and we, I don't know why we're even doing this. We need to define the scope and purpose of this document and what should be in it, because every version we've gotten has had different sections. And so we need to know, the board, I think, needs to decide what this document is about, why we're doing it. We need to decide on the format, and then we need to go through and fill in the blanks as a group, as a team, or else we could set up a committee to do this. But I think this needs two or three or maybe four workshops and significant work.
I would agree with Jan on the workshops.
Was that a second?
No.
Okay. We're still looking for a second for Roger's motion, right?
Motion failed. Motion failed.
Which one?
Rogers.
Okay. To accept this as written.
Right. So I'm moving to table it and start a workshop process.
Was that a motion?
That is a motion.
I would second that.
Discussion?
You know, I've been on this board and I've seen this go. This is the third time we've tried this deal. We've had a month to look at it. We've had two different copies. We've had plenty of time to study them out. This was given to us 5 days ago or 6 days ago, whatever the day it was. And now we can come back and we can't agree to it. And you know, what are we going to do in a workshop? Argue the same things over and over again, or try to find another one? And yes, I got your email that was sent to me for all the corrections and all the things wrong with it, but I don't understand how other ports can be so wrong. And why, you know, we look at another one, so go ahead. I'm just getting tired of looking the same thing going over and over again. You were told to have your corrections in a month ago, and they haven't yet. We got them yesterday, I think. And that is not time to look through and see what's in that. You should have put it in right after we discussed last month.
So I'd like just to let the audience know a little bit of history. This was brought up in April with the previous board. And their commissioner rules, regulations, duties to help the commissioners kind of give us a guideline on, for instance, I'm not going to go in to the office and tell Danielle to do this, this, and this. I'm going to go to Gary and let him know my concern, and then he will decide how to handle it. So a very small, minor part, but it also has to do with us electing officers every year and these type of things. The previous commission decided, because it was so close to election and a new board coming on board possibly, to delay it for us. And so it's been on our old business since 9/8. It was on again on 9/19. Last month, all of the board didn't have really any comments on it, and Jan had a few changes, and so I had asked him to email those to Gary so that he could then email them to us and we could all look at them and decide how to move forward with these. And we got a 4-page email yesterday, so I don't know that we all had enough. And I think what the staff did today, from what I'm looking at, is they basically they gave us two different ports, their rules to look at, and what did we like and what did we not like. And anyway, they emailed those all updated today with Brookings filled in and all of that. And I had a couple of changes, and otherwise I was okay with that. I'm concerned about having four workshops or three workshops on this. We seem to be meeting to death here lately with three and four meetings a month. And I personally, I like the one that we got today. This is pretty much the resolution is what the city of Brookings has on their books. And so that's where I am. I'm just not a big fan of kind of like beating the dead horse over and over to death in several workshops.
I don't know about four, Angie, but I definitely would support at least one.
Well, and technically, we don't have workshops. That's not in ORS's special meetings, just to clarify that. Andy, I'd like to hear from you if you have anything.
I don't have a problem with this necessarily, although if I know Jan has some major concerns, and it looks like on what you do individually as a commissioner versus what the commission does as a whole was part of that.
I am not sure what the current draft states. As we said, so to further clarify for the audience, the comments that I turned in a couple of days ago were on a version that was completely and totally and nothing to do with this. It was from the Court of Suiza Law. This is from based on the Court of Garibaldi, Baldi. And I have not made comments on this draft, but apparently so we had this for about a week, but then there was a revision issued at 3:58 this afternoon, and it appears to be a major revision. And I think some of my comments have been incorporated as they apply to this different document, but I don't know what it says. I didn't, it's, as I say, about 20 pages. I have not had a chance to read it.
Well, you've had a week to read it. The only revision was to add in Brookings.
No.
Excuse me, if I could finish. Add in Brookings, correct the agenda, and put in that the terms were 1 year for our positions versus two. Is that correct? I'd like to ask Gary, is that correct?
That's all we changed.
Okay.
Besides getting all these names to the Port of Brookings.
Thank you.
And we took out the resolution numbers that corresponded to their paragraphs. We just took them out.
Okay.
So we don't have resolutions in some of the areas, but.
Thank you. So there's not major
so
changes.
Then let me make some comments on this, because I did review the prior version. I didn't bring it because I got something different. But so in section 5A 2, I'm sorry, 5A 2, the position numbers I believe are incorrect. In section 5B, ORS chapter 266 applies to Parks and Recreations Department, has nothing to do with us or elections of commissioners. This qualification section is a complete turnaround of, it's a law on how vacancies occur. It has nothing to do with qualifications to be a commissioner. And I think the county clerk, as I understand it, determines the qualifications when you file to be a candidate and certifies your election. I don't think our board has any authority whatsoever to determine the qualifications of an elected official that were to seat. This portion, and it's sort of a, I have a whole in principle objection to kind of halfway restating laws, either reference the law or state it verbatim or something. It's kind of got bits and pieces, but, and you know, it just, I don't know. The oath of office, which is section D here, 5D. I like the insertion of the oath language. That was not in the draft I had until 4 o'clock this afternoon. I like that language, but ORS 444.030, I'm going off memory, says who can issue the oath, and this is not what it says. So this is not compliant with the law as far as who can administer the oath. There is I would like to see on F, I guess that's 5F, is it? No, it's 6F, page 50. Would be interested to see rules for how we appoint committees. On 6G, the ability to censor is inherent. This section doesn't really add anything. It doesn't give any criteria for when you might censor or what a censor means or what the procedure is. It doesn't say if it's an executive session or open session or what the, you know, there's a whole, I just don't know why this is here because it doesn't really add to anything that I can see. I believe this section H, harassment policies, was not in the document prior to 358 this afternoon. I don't recall seeing it. Mm-hmm.
It was.
It was? Okay.
I have the other copy right
They're
here.
Both copies are in the
okay, if you,
package.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if, Jan, compare it page to page. Don't go off from saying this, I think.
When
That's
was
all
I
I've heard, I think.
When was I supposed to do that? This came out at 3:58 this afternoon.
No, there's nothing changed except three or four little items in here. It's exactly the same document.
Well, I have not commented prior to this on that document because...
Yes, you have, right here.
No, that was the Board of
Sois
law.
No, that was on the Sois law.
Yes.
No, this is the one that came in our packet. This is our packet we got four days ago.
His comments, he did not address.
I don't see anything on here that says where it came from.
Look at the top, very top line. It says for the 9/8/17 draft.
That's correct. Dan is correct.
Okay.
I'm just going to say I'm not prepared to vote on this. I think we've never had a time when we've gone through these item by item and says, what does the commission want? And I feel we need to do that. That's my position.
There's a motion on the floor.
I have one more comment.
Yes.
On the special meeting later this month, how many items are on the agenda right now?
We have one big item that's regarding our FEMA project. It's going to be very time consuming on that one, so I wouldn't want to add anything more. They're going to add another topic on there that's not on the agenda right now.
Is that one of the other leases?
It's a catalyst lease. So we have the public voice. It's going to be kind of interesting to talk about, and then
catalyst.
FEMA obligations we've got to do for the public meeting. It's going to be lengthy.
Jan, we had a special meeting in November for the regular meeting and hash this out.
I think we should do that. I'm I will make myself available.
I'm fine with it.
Any other comments?
I do have one other, well, actually a couple other comments. I just want to state a kind of a principle that's important to me, is that we have five commissioners that are equals, and that's something I will be looking at very strongly as we go through the document. And the other thing is, a document of this nature, in my opinion, before it's finalized, should undergo legal review. And so I will be pushing for that. So I'm just letting you guys know that I think those are two important things to me as we move into the process. I appreciate that everybody seems to be willing to go to November.
Roll call.
Roger?
No.
Andy?
So the motion's to postpone this to have workshops or a special meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Jan?
Yes.
Angie?
No. Coast Guard vessel and boat yard update.
Okay, we got word from the Coast Guard Auxiliary that they were willing to perform the work of restoring the vessel, but they don't have the funds to do purchase the material and whatnot. So and that's looking for the board's direction on the next step.
Didn't Mrs. Katie say there was some funds left she would turn over to somebody?
Yeah, from what I remember it was like $1,200 roughly. So I don't know what it's gonna take for, I don't know if that's enough. I know it's gonna cost the port quite a bit to move it to wherever we decide to move it and set up the area for it. That's something that I think the board needs to think about. The funds wise, I know we're doing better on funds, but we have a lot of things to fix around the port.
In our last meeting, Greg, Travel Oregon was mentioned. Has any contact possibly made between our last meeting and this meeting with Travel Oregon?
No, that you're talking about grant work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we haven't contacted them. I on the board's direction, if you want me to go try to get a grant, no. That's...
I think the Coast Guard Auxiliary needs to be searching those things out. Whoever's going to take it over. If we're going to be searching for grants, we need to be searching for grants for the port.
I think we have resources available at the tips of our fingers that would gladly write us a grant.
Who? And who's going to write the grant?
I think Jan Barbas might do that. I met with Jan today for 2 hours, and I learned to play more in 2 hours than I learned in the past year about poor business. I learned a lot today. So Travel Oregon is, 20 to $50,000. It's an avenue.
I know, and of course grants always have matching, so
that's correct.
You gotta have matching funds for that.
So does the auxiliary have the matching funds for any grants that could be written?
Angie, the auxiliary does not own that boat. Port of Brookings owns that boat. It was donated to us by Joe and Katie 18 years ago.
No, I understand. And
this
port
has not made one iota of effort to make that thing happen. And I bet you, if you poll this audience, they want to see that boat somewhere on port property. I think it would be a disgrace if it went somewhere else. And I think it would be a disgrace if we tried to pass the buck on that boat. And when, yes, it might be a day to move that boat. That travels pretty fast. Every port on this coast has some kind of a boat on display, from sport boats to drag boats to Coast Guard boats. And they're very tourist oriented. Families like to stand there and take their pictures with them. And I think In my opinion, it would be a great step to get that boat put somewhere on a permanent stand, get it painted somehow. The auxiliary would do the work, they still have the funds for the materials. So we slap a little paint on it, put a little fence around it, put a board out there, tell them what it was, and we've done something for our tourist trade.
Thank you, President Christian. So I think most of the Travel Oregon grants require a 10% match. Amount remaining from the nonprofit, the existing nonprofit, as I recall, was about $1,600 or $1,800. So that amount could cover a match up to $16,000, $18,000 maybe. We don't have any idea what this project would cost. So I think I am okay at grant writing, but I have absolutely no idea about fixing boats or what that might cost. I would be willing to take some initial steps to see what kind of support we could get for grants. So the city manager, Gary Milliman, is the Travel Oregon person. I would be willing to go with the board's authorization only, go and meet with him and see what he, just feel him out, what he thinks we could do and what the time frame and which grant he thinks we could go for and that kind of thing, and I could report that back to the board, and if it appeared favorable, we could consider what next steps might be to actually determine costs, where we might put it, and that sort of thing. And then if the board so authorized, I would be willing to put some time into writing a proposal for the board to approve.
Doesn't cost anything.
I'm shaking my head.
So at this point, it would just be approval to talk to Gary and bring back some preliminary information about what he sees as a likely possibility on a grant.
Well, instead of going to Gary Milliman, I just call Todd up at Travel Oregon and ask him.
If you know somebody at Travel Oregon that you feels better contact and you're willing to do that, that's perfectly fine by me. Gary is, I forget the acronym, but he is the, he's basically the guy whose support we will need to get any grant through Travel Oregon. So he's the South Coast.
SOVA.
He's the one that's.
He's not in Travel Oregon. He's on Oregon Coast Association. He's not a Travel Oregon board.
He's the guy.
I do remember at a chamber meeting when he gave a presentation talking about Travel Oregon.
Yeah, and Travel Oregon. I don't know if everybody is aware, but the statewide hotel tax went from 1% to 1.8%, and all of that increase is going into Travel Oregon. It's nearly doubled their budget. They are looking to fund projects, and so we can only try. That's one idea. If they are not interested, there are potential grants through ODOT. If we were to see about putting it up by 101, they fund some historical type grants. A completely different approach that I'm very open to is to advertise for somebody to do the grant writing or something like that. So I don't know. So the proposal from the Coast Guard Auxiliary is they'll do the work, but they don't want to take on the money side. So maybe we could go out and try to get another nonprofit that wants to do the whole thing, or maybe we could, I'm open to anything. I would like to see it stay here, but if we can't keep it here, we can't. On the other hand, I don't see any rush to make a decision. It's sitting in the boatyard. I don't think it's going anywhere. We could set a time frame to make a decision if people want to say 6 months to, or something. I'm open to that. I don't.
chance to address the board on that.
Yes, please.
I would like the board to decide where to put this vessel, because we need a location before you go after the grant. I really don't know where to put it. Do we put it in the grassy area in front of the new boardwalk? Do you put it, like I said, on 101? Is that even feasible?
We would have to go to ODOT and...
Yeah, or do we put it in the parking lot, the new parking lot, one of the islands there? To me, the first step was to find out a spot to put it, or put it back where it used to be, but I know the Coast Guard didn't like it close there when things weren't being done to it. Plus, it's out of the way.
Is there room in the grassy area by the boardwalk, by the Chuck O'Neill Memorial?
It would take up the whole grass area. I don't know if that's a really good place, but the board needs to decide. I mean, maybe that's another meeting down the road, figure out where we really want to put it, and then go after the grant. Because if we don't have a spot to put it, why go after the grant?
I think it needs to be somewhere near the retail area. People already go to the beach here. We need something to draw people to the boardwalk and the retail center. And that's, you know, that's one thing that would get people to stop, that drive down from 101 and bypass that, just drive right past it down to the beach. And even in the area where the port office is relocating to, next to the road there, but it also needs to be in an area that has parking close by, so people aren't parking where they shouldn't be to go look at it.
Right, and away from the main Lower Harbor Road, a little bit.
Gary, do you want to provide a list of locations that you feel are feasible to the board, and we can all go around and look at those spots?
Yeah, I can put the pluses and minuses, you know, the pros and cons to where it's sitting at. Because, you know, if you put it in a parking lot, you're taking up valuable space for when we have events. I mean, we're already shorthanded on parking for events. We're parking along the road and everything else. So if we put it in the parking lot, it's 50 some odd feet long.
Is there room over there in the boat trailer parking lot for it someplace along there?
That's possible. I mean, like you talk about around Checo Seafood, Cattle Seafood area.
Over there, basically where the Tigerman's sign is.
Oh, where the...
The boat launch parking lot.
That's what I'm talking about. There's
right out front there?
It's a pretty narrow island. Yeah. But there is one big island that's kind of right in front of the Harbor Sanitary's building.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, why don't you come up with a list for us?
Sure.
And we'll put it on the next regular meeting. Is that all right with everyone?
I'm in no rush on this at all.
You know, you talk about going out for a grant for this. If you read, I read news that SDAO newsletter where Charleston got a grant from Travel Oregon to buy picnic tables. So do we want picnic tables or want to save the Coast Guard boat?
We can probably have multiple grant applications. Our problem right now, as I understand it, and I believe President Christian agrees, we don't have the staff to do a lot of grants, and our staff, we're understaffed, and severely so. We're running at about half, or maybe even a third, of the staff we were 2 years ago. And so an option, if you do want to authorize me to talk to Gary Milliman, another thing I could talk to him about is if the city would like to team with us on grant writing, because they have huge expertise in grant writing and they have staff. And they have a fairly progressive view, and I think I don't know if they would want to charge us or if they would just be willing to do it for the community or
well,
what.
Since that's not part of what we're talking about, I think we probably ought to save that for another time. But at this point, we'll wait for Gary to come up with some areas that we could look at the next meeting, and then decide where it's going to be, and then we can give direction on the grant, and they'll at least have a place where it's going to be designated.
Well, I'll make a motion for Jan to talk with the city of Brookings, or the city manager, about the travel and tourism grant, just to get that ball rolling.
I'll second that.
Jan?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
I'll call Todd.
Slugs and Stones and Ice Cream Cones lease renewal request. This was at our last special meeting, and we had decided, just a little history, Slugs and Stones, once their building had been here for 20 years, it then reverted back to the port. And the board, she was paying...
38 cents a square foot.
8.9 cents more a square foot than what we are renting buildings currently, retail space currently. And she was going to continue to pay that amount for the next 3 years to purchase back her building. And it came up to about $4,550. And that was her suggestion, and the board voted on that and agreed. And she came to see me the next day and said, instead of making the payments over the next 3 months, what if I just write you a check for what that amount is, and I start paying the $1.05 like everyone else in the building's mine, and titles don't have to transfer.
30 cents.
Yeah. Excuse me, what did I say?
$1.05,
excuse me. 30 cents, because she owns the building and bare ground lease. Personally speaking, I think it's a great idea, and I asked her to contact the port manager, email the commissioners. We have to make a decision in an open meeting. Just to let the rest of the commission know, which I'm sure you already do, if we would follow through with the last decision, the staff every month would have to calculate that difference, because that is a sale of an asset. 80% goes to IFA, and it would be quite the bookkeeping, not nightmare, but it would sure add to what they're already doing. Yeah. So.
I'd like to make a motion to accept her proposal of accepting the check, and she owns the building. She buys the building from us.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
My discussion, we do not have to do the maintenance if she owns the building.
One minor point, just to clarify, because we went a little bit back and forth between retail rates and bare ground rates. She's paying the asphalt rate. She was paying 37.9, and our current asphalt lease rate is 30 cents.
Any other discussion before we have a roll call?
Roy?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Jan?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes. Event application update and review 2018.
I brought this to the board because we like to, you know, get a jump start for next year and give the organizations a chance to schedule and plan ahead. I think my proposal to the board is to do the rates as they are for this go around. And then you can discuss the rates, and then we do all of our rates in the January, February timeframe for 2019.
I'll make a motion. We accept the rates as from last year to the next year, and accept the, most accept the
Manager's
recommendations for you.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Yeah, I would be interested if any, I see we have quite a few vendors, so I don't know if the chair would, our president would like to see if we have any comments.
I would like to hear from Michael Pitts Campbell. He filled out a form.
On the assumption that the same rate means the 240% above what we have historically paid, I believe, without consulting the committee, that the Southern Oregon Kite Festival will put the 2018 festival on in the fourth this year. Future years depend upon future decisions.
I see Jim here from the car club. Did you have any comments?
So if we leave it the same as last year, it worked out.
Okay. Alex, Mike?
Okay.
Anyone else that I'm not recognizing?
So the only thing that I would ask the organization people or event holders is to start putting in the dates for next year so that we can secure the dates. And you guys start planning.
I can make a comment that the dates are off by a week because the first is on a Sunday, not the first, you know. So that and me.
And
the application we will do after our meeting in about 2 weeks.
And the applications are available now at the port office?
Yeah, they're the same.
Okay. I'll take them to the meeting.
Can I get a roll call then, please?
Roger.
Yes.
Andy.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes.
Jan.
Yes.
Angie.
Yes. Kathy's Corner request for additional retail center space.
So Kathy, actually Scott from Kathy's Corner came to me and just was requesting the next lower room for additional storage. But I don't think it's feasible. I don't really want to split up more of the retail area. But there's some other option. I mean, maybe we can enclose the back end area for it because we're there, you know.
I'd like to look at it as enclose that back end area for storage. I think there's a payback in 3 years, maybe or less.
Yeah.
Question for Gary. Can you remind me if the Bell and Whistle proposed expansion included the 104 space or did not?
No, it did not.
Okay. So we don't have any competing requests for 104, is that correct?
Correct. And that's in its current lease.
Yeah, they all release that, don't they?
Yes.
That's in their current lease,
yes.
At 104.
Oh, they're asking for 103?
Correct.
Oh, and 103 does conflict with what Bell and Whistle had asked for. It also conflicts with the other proposal we have here.
Correct.
From
correct.
Right. So I'm just going to say, I think we're going to have to talk about all three of these at once because they're competing for some of the same spaces. And I'm not sure how we decide. Bell and Whistle was first in, but we haven't negotiated the construction details that she wanted. And had you talked to her about system development fees?
Yes, I mentioned, let me expand a little more on Bell and Whistle. So Deborah came to me last week about 103. I mentioned that to Misty, and she's happy to give up 103 and just go into 102. So that reduces her construction amount big time. So she has a contractor that was going to give us a quote on to, you know, opening up a wall and a doorway. So that's what she's going to be asking for the port is suite 103, the entire.
Or 102.
I'm sorry, 102. Yeah.
I would hate to give up retail space for storage at this point. if we have someone interested in running it for retail. I'd like to look at some other avenues to help our current tenant with their storage without giving up retail.
Are you Deborah Chalmers?
I am.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't know you. So, so let me be sure I'm understanding correctly. So Bell and Whistle, it would be happy with an expansion into 102?
Yes.
Correct.
And if they took 102, that would dramatically reduce the construction issues?
Correct.
And Deborah wants, I didn't realize these two sections were both labeled 103, the 660 and the 120 square feet that's circled.
The 120 is Brent's office, right behind where Danielle sits.
Okay.
But I would like
no,
to
excuse me. We're you'll be called. I'm sorry. You'll be called I on right now.
Though.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not to your agenda item yet.
No. So, so Kathy's just wants the 120 square feet of 103, and.
No. No.
That's correct.
And Deborah wants all of 103, a total of 770 square feet.
Well, 780.
680.
Right.
Plus the 120.
Plus the 660
plus 120.
680.
Equals 680.
I'm reading 680.
No, I see 780. 660 and 120 is 780.
780. That's what I thought it was.
So, come on, guys. Get your phones out and put up your calculator.
Okay. 103 is 560 square feet.
No.
103 is 120 square feet. So that makes 680 square feet.
Well, okay. 881.
What?
Hey, it was at page 81. I think
they're looking. Oh, we're looking at page 7. I'm looking at page 78.
Well, they're just added up different.
Gary, I have a question to ask you. You know,
why are they different?
The 660 is roughly the total of 103.
Okay.
But when I redid the measurements, it's closer to 68 than 660.
What?
All right. This is 560.
680. Look at 81.
81. The 680 for the two combined.
That's what it says, approximately.
680
for two combined.
That's what's a little room and a big room.
Okay.
680.
That's close enough for them.
Okay, so let's get back to Kathy's Market before we move on to.
I'd like to make a motion that Gary work with Kathy's Corner Market to come up with a storage solution that doesn't involve the other retail space in that part of the complex.
I'll second it.
Before we call the question, if we could have discussion. I would be interested to hear from Gary if his opinion of that.
I'm fine with that.
And when I said that part of the complex, there's still where the technology center was and some buildings there. I'm not real familiar with that, but anyways, that doesn't include the 103 space or the 102 or 101 space.
Right. Roll call?
Yes, please.
Okay, Roger.
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes. Bubbles Boutique proposal for retail center space. And
I'd like to ask a question.
Excuse me. Deborah, would you mind coming up here and sitting so the microphone, so if sure. Any commissioners have questions, the microphone will pick up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes. Gary, I know when Bells and Whistles first wanted to rent it. She had a list of demands she wanted us to do that was about ridiculously long. How is that going to work now with her backing out of that space?
Well, we're not speaking on.
Yes, we are.
We are not.
This space up.
We are not. Excuse me. We do not have a proposal in front of us for Bells and Whistles.
Yeah, we need to revise proposal.
And so until then, we need to just wait for their proposal.
Correct.
And let's look at Bubbles Boutique since Misty has said that was fine with her, so we're not stepping on anyone's toes.
Well, I have a comment on the air conditioning. I think that that's just the port's responsibility. If we were working today and we rented it to her, and the very next day or the day she moved in it failed, we would be on the hook to fix it. I just think that's just not us.
I disagree, because a lot of the other port offices don't have air conditioning, and it's a pretty big amount. $4,000.
Yeah, the quote we got last year was $4,000. I don't know
what it is this year.
That's what we've been working with, what we got.
I know that there's very few days that we actually need air conditioning in Brookings.
So on top of the air conditioning, there's also ducting that needs to be rerouted. Right now it's routed to both of those suites. So there would be some ducting. It's going to be more than $4,000 if we have to. It will be more than $4,000 due to ducting and heating and all that stuff.
Are we going to need two air conditioning units then, one for Bell and Whistle expansion, or whoever gets the other side?
I think it's up to the board if the board wants to provide that. Right now, like Angie said, that there's quite a few retail spaces that don't have air conditioning. Some I think paid, and I think some the board paid. I mean, it just depends on what the board approved at the time.
Isn't the port office the only retail space that has air conditioning?
No.
What other space has air conditioning?
Bell and Whistle does, because I think when the port was running that Bell and Whistle, they installed one. So we're, you know,
They installed new air conditioner, or they installed new ducting?
Air conditioner. Mm-hmm. I think there's minor ducting that they put in.
When the port was running it? The Bell and Whistle coffee shop.
And main base took over the other building and put a unit in there.
Correct. I don't know about Hungry Clam. I don't believe they have.
No,
they put
do
their
do
own.
Not.
Yeah. Kathy's Corner put their own swamp cooler in. Jay Salone does have a heater. They've been asking for air conditioning. You know, the quotes there was like $10,000 for their space. And it's just something that we can't afford.
And down at the port, if you're not as warm normally as you are in other parts of town, either.
Right.
Deborah, is the air conditioner a necessity to you for your business?
No, it is not.
Okay. So I think maybe we just... Okay, with Deborah seems to be okay with... If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. She seems to be fine with that.
Yeah, and right now the controller is in 102. So 103 doesn't have a controller, but the ducting does go into 103.
So leasing starting January 1st, that isn't a problem because you're going to be moving out?
I hope to be moved out by the first week of November.
And then a wall will have to then be put up?
Yeah, I would say the port's responsible for the wall to separate the two suites, and by the door to go through to that other room. That's just...
But now, after I've looked at the square footage, my husband and I went and walked the space today, okay? And in all fairness, of course, it's up to the commissioners, but the 103 space is not enough for me. And to take all of 102 is a little too much. So what I would ideally, because we saw there was a wall there already, to divide 102 in half. And I would take the front half. And it is because there's a wall there already, so a new wall doesn't have to go up. There's already a wall there. And then if Bell and Whistle wanted the back half, That would be perfect. And I believe Bell and Whistle, well, there's a water heater back there in the back of 102 and a counter with plumbing. I don't know if that's what Bell and Whistle, if that's theirs already, but it's there. And they've got to be getting hot water from somewhere, so I'm assuming it's coming from there. So that would be ideally what I would like. Because for a boutique, something as small as, what did these add up to? 680 square feet, that's not big enough.
So you want 400 square feet more.
So I'd add 400 square feet to that.
Okay, so you want both the 103 and the front half of 102, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But give up the 103, the 120 square feet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I need that too.
Okay.
So
because if 103 in total is 680 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, then I'd like 400 square feet.
So 1,080 square feet.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes.
So upon approval of the board, you're ready to go for all that?
I'm ready to go.
You ready to sign up, sign a lease, and go?
Yep.
So I would like to hear from Misty, Bell and Whistle, how she feels about that proposal. Gary has a comment.
Yeah. Misty, when she came to the port, she came to me and our staff, she was really wanting that front part, just like Deborah's wanting, because the windows and all that stuff. So I don't know how she would react to that, but you know, I said that was her primary spot going in there, that half. I don't know if you remember, several months ago, she was thinking about having like a bookkeeping in the back side. She wanted the front side. So I don't know if her ideas changed, if she would be receptive to that. But right now, I think she probably wouldn't be. But.
Well, I can't do it without that space, so I'd have to be out. If there's some conflict with her having to have the front, there's no way for me to use the back to get to the back. Not for a retail shop. That would, they'd be in a, clients, customers would be in a whole different room. So that will not work for me.
Yeah, there's another piece of the puzzle here, just be thinking about when we split up a suite, the electrical side of things, I mean, they're all on a separate meter right now. So when we split a suite in half, I don't know how you keep track of electrical costs. Other than rerouting all the wires to the proper meters. So that's another thing about splitting up the suites that creates an issue.
Where is the meter now located?
The meters are in behind the restroom. There's a bank of meters for all the suites.
Oh, I see.
Go ahead, Andy.
Well, I'd like to see the Bell and Whistle proposal then before we move forward with this, because it potentially is jeopardizing a new lease from them, and then we're facing having a half-empty retail space without a front door.
And to be fair, Bell and Whistle came to us first.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question just on your proposal. I just want to be sure I'm clear. So you want to lease beginning January 1, and you're requesting that we give you some free rent for your remodeling?
1 month.
1 month? Okay, so you want to start paying February 1, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now Gary says we can be out of that suite on, have it available to you December 1, I think. Are you ready to go that quick? Would you move up if we were?
It's hard because I'm going to be out of state.
Okay.
during that time.
Just feeling out where your comfort zones are.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what you're asking is January 1 and start paying rent February 1?
February 1.
Okay. I'm in agreement with, I think it was Andy who said that we need the proposal from Bell and Whistle before we can make a decision on this.
I'd like to see, so that we're not holding up another client that may have to find someplace else if she wants to open by January or January 1st, then could we ask, is it fair to ask Ms. D to have something for us by next week so that we can...
Yeah, I'll ask her to have something by the 26th.
Okay.
Is her contractor going to be able to produce an estimate that quickly?
I would hope so. It's very minor remodeling. It's the opening in one wall and then putting the doorway in. So it shouldn't be, it's some plumbing. So it shouldn't be a whole lot to do that. So at worst, maybe she can come in and talk about the proposal that Deborah's presenting. So.
Could you possibly get a hold of her and then email all of us? And
sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
So we will revisit this on the 26th
of this month.
So would you like a motion to table to the 26th? I so move.
Can I ask one more question about that? How many square feet did you need as a minimum?
I'd like to be around 1,000 square feet. And that comes right.
And the space 102 by itself, just 800 square feet, is that too small?
No. Well, no.
I'm personally hesitant to take one of the retail spaces. We've already taken two of them, combined them into one for the port office, but then to take a space and a half and then leave a smaller space that...
Well, the reason that I had said that is because, okay, if Bell and Whistle wants all of 102 and you're going to agree to give her all of 102, I'm out because my space is too small to do a retail business.
So, Andy, what are you looking at doing for her to look at 102 and the back half of 103?
I'm saying if we look at the Bell and Whistle proposal and we don't like it, and it's not approved, or the board doesn't move forward with it, then looking at leasing 102 by itself. I'm just not saying that we're doing that.
Right, right.
If that is potentially an option.
It would be a lot better than splitting a suite.
So would 800?
If would live with 800.
If it comes to that. We just want to have all the options on the table so that...
Right. So what are you saying?
Gary, would we be able to use 102, which is 800 square feet, and could we use 103, the 120 square feet, or do we have electrical issues with that?
Well, you do have electrical issues with 103. I don't know what the...
I'm just saying that's 920. That's getting her closer to her 1,000.
Yeah, I don't know what the regulations are for having a front door and a back door, having two ways to get in and out of a retail space. I would have to check into that because that you would close off the 103 back door access.
Well, do you have any access for Whale's Tail? One access in?
I have no...
Actually, I don't think
there is. Yeah. 103, there's a front door access and a back door access.
Oh, but she was proposing to give you the 120-foot section of 103.
All of this, and then take this, too.
And that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like an office dressing room.
So that would cut off 103's back door.
That's fine. I would do that. And that would give you 900.
But then what's Bell and Whistle getting?
We have to wait and see. Make any decisions until we have all kinds of...
But if that were the case, then who'd be in the port office?
Well, you don't need to worry about that. That's all of our problems.
Yeah. Andy was just proposing another way to look at it, that if we happened to reject the Bell and Whistle proposal, or if she didn't come.
Right, or that I understand, then you would want to keep it complete.
That's why we were having this discussion.
That makes sense, that makes sense.
Okay, Deborah, what will happen if Bell's Whistle says, hey, I don't want part of it, either get all of it or get none of it? Then we've got...
And she said that's not big enough for her, and she'll have to...
That's too big?
No.
See, my first proposal was actually for AJ Sloan's, if you recall. Okay, and I got bumped out of that one, so I decided to come over to this one. But now, given the square footage, as I said, it's too small. The only other, thing I could say would be for me to take both those suites, 102 and 103. And I'd be willing to take both suites.
That's what I want to know.
But it has to be, for my first year, a reduced charge on square footage. Because that's a big nut when you're first opening a store, and I'm opening it in winter.
What kind of reduced are you thinking? Just so the board has all of that. And maybe we can wait until... Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No.
I think we need to wait until Misty comes back and see what Misty wants to do. She's the first one in.
Because she's the first one in.
I think we've all agreed that. Yes. We're just talking about other options.
Yeah, just so that...
Yeah. Okay.
So why don't we do that? Why don't we...
So I think I made a motion to table till the 26th, and I don't recall if it was seconded.
I thought it was.
I'll second it.
Okay. Roll call.
All right. Roger.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes.
Andy.
Yes.
Andy.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deborah, for considering our port.
Yes. I live in Harbor. Okay. So my preference, you know, I know that 40% of the town of Brookings is vacant. It's no problem getting space then. But I live in Harbor. I want to have my space here.
Yeah. You know. That's great. And your space will be a good fit at the port.
Mm-hmm. Very
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
I believe it will.
Okay. Gary, the Oregon State Treasury.
Okay. So currently, our bank is giving us roughly 0.15% on our money interest. So the Treasury, Oregon State Treasury, is 1.45 roughly. I like to open up some accounts. There's a couple reasons we put in here. The transactions from the state can just go right into it. We can start taking the extra interest on our money. And also, there's transactions that can happen, you know, from the state to whatever grants or whatever IFA loans that we have. So I'd actually like to make some more money than this 0.15.
And doesn't Cape, is it Cape Varello Fire Department?
Yeah, there's many, many small agencies that governments that have this. I mean, it's a state of Oregon. I think it's pretty safe.
And so I want to make sure I understand. So when next month, when we get
tax money.
Property tax money, that will go into that and not just sit
Correct.
In one of our...
And what I'd like to do is put that tax money into that fund and only use it when we need it for a general fund. So, and I'd like to move all the USDA money, the IFA, all the restricted funds into that account to maximize our
portfolio.
Yeah.
So I just have a question or something. So at Umpqua Bank, this is an FDIC guaranteed account, and in this it's an, although it's a low risk investment, it is an investment account at risk. Is that correct?
I don't know about that. I'll have to find that out. I don't have an answer.
All right. Well, I'm in favor of it either way, but I just wanted to know. So if you could let us know later, I'm okay to go ahead with the decision without knowing.
Okay.
Here, we can use this like any other bank. We can take and withdraw money out and put money in at any time.
Correct.
So I'd like to move to accept the off, the proposal as Gary's outlined.
I'll second it.
Roy, Andy, did you have any questions or comments?
Does it have any impact on the other accounts at Umpqua Bank, on any of the fees? I'm not sure if it would be less than what we make with the higher interest rate.
I don't think it does have any impact on the Umpqua.
Roll call, please.
Roger.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes.
Andy.
Yes.
Jan.
Yes.
Angie.
Yes. Item E, Harbor Sanitary Proposal.
Okay, so we had our meeting last week, and they gave us some recommendations to add some newer sand traps in the RV park restrooms. And they wanted some way to stop the large debris flow going into the restrooms when we have the occasional storm that put a lot of debris in the RV park. So I think it's probably the easiest way to stop the debris going in the restrooms is putting doors back on there. They used to have doors on them. Maybe they just rusted away and just took them off. But maybe, you know, putting doors back on there with, you know, would be probably the quickest, easiest way. Plus, I like to have those closed at night, because we do have some individuals like to sleep in there and make a mess. So that was one of my solutions on the debris going in there. The sand traps, I like to just upgrade all sand trap drains. We do have sand trap drains in the showers, but they're, if I put in 30, 40 years ago, but it's like to upgrade those. And I like to do it all with work staff, who is my materials.
Gary, run the doors, put self-closing doors on.
Yes, that's what we're thinking about doing, yeah.
I could go by a restroom down our doors wide open. Has Kelly approved this yet?
Roger.
What?
Roger. Go ahead, Gary.
I'd like the board to approve my proposal, and then I can ask Kelly if she's okay with it. I mean, it's pretty much what they were telling us to do is upgrade the sand traps and stop the debris going in the restrooms. So I think it's pretty straightforward.
I make a motion we allow Gary to go forward with his proposal to fix the bathrooms and drains.
I would like to offer an amendment subject to discussion with Harbor San if they have any major grief to come back to us. I'm sorry. I would like to offer an amendment to your motion, making it subject to discussion, Gary discussing with Harbor San, and if they have major issues to come back to us. Were you able to hear that okay?
Mm-hmm.
You want to accept that amendment or no?
I'll withdraw my motion.
In that case, I'll move that we approve it subject to Gary discussing with Harbor San and if they have major objections to come back to the board.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
What's the time frame for doing this? Is this something we're going to do immediately?
I'm going to try to get it done as soon as I can. But funding, as long as funding's available and time to do it.
It would seem like the biggest priority, maybe I'm wrong, but is number two, to get the doors on those restrooms. And then the the restrooms are probably, or the showers are used less during the wintertime than they are in the summer, right?
Yeah, there's use going in there, but yeah, it's definitely less in the wintertime. But during the winter, we have more, you know, available time for you guys to do stuff, so.
And then the cap that we have on the outside shower, is that adequately preventing sand and salt water from getting in there now?
Yeah, it is, because water stands in the shower area, so there's no water going anywhere. There's a puddle developed there now, but I'm just going to go in there and cap it like they recommend. Just get it done. There's no reason to argue and go forward with it. There's one slab that I want to get rid of because it's a tripping hazard. So take that slab off there, it's easy to cap it, and we're going to put another slab in there. It's going to be equal to the ground, it's going to be a tripping hazard, and it's going to slope away from the building.
I think it's a very well constructed plan. The cost seems to me to be quite reasonable, and I am very much in favor of creating a good feeling with Harbor Sand if we can, as much as possible, that we're all on the same team.
We've been trying.
I know.
It's hard to do with no funds. We are progressing. Like Slugs and Stones sewer is going to be fixed this month. And the next thing is going to be Zola's, and it's going to be about a $15,000 hit. So it's a matter of funding. And
I think we've probably, as far as minor capital improvements, sanitary system upgrades has been pretty much the theme this year, and probably the bulk of it. And it has been a significant investment and a lot of good work on the part of port staff, I think.
Roll call. We had a first and a second.
Yes. Andy.
Yes.
Roman.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
Roger.
Yes.
Andy.
Yes. Commissioners' reports. Roger, we'll start with you.
I'd like to comment this last month, since last meeting, I've got to go up an IFA meeting with Gary and Angie. We had a very interesting to be up there, up to Portland, and had to have a conference up there. And what I was proud of, Brookings was not the smallest port there, but the farthest away port. We got the most people there, and that was past a lot of the other ports. And I think I'm very pleased on how our port is doing with Gary in charge of it. He's doing an excellent job, and I'm looking forward to the future with him at our helm. Thank you. Maybe. Oh, one more thing. I got to see Travis take a drag pole off with his telehandler yesterday. And I've seen a lot of good operators in my life, in my time in the industry. And he has a touch unbelievable, and is excellent. I think he can pick up an egg with it and put it down without looking at it. Thank you.
A couple of things. First, I wanted to commend Angie as the Port Commission President for going above and beyond. Angie's been putting in a lot of hours along with the port staff, so she's been working extremely hard behind the scenes, helping these meetings run quickly. But there's hours and hours and hours that she's putting in, and the public only sees her for a short amount of time at these meetings. And she's also been attending a lot of representing the port at other functions and gatherings. So you're doing a great job with that, Angie. And I know you're putting in working really hard on that.
Thanks, Andy.
I had a couple long phone calls with the Department of Fish and Wildlife today. I just wanted to update everybody on the bubble season. As you know, we just got done with the 4-day sport bubble season, which is the ocean salmon season, the only one of the year out of Brookings. Our allocation this year was 300 fish, in part because there was a projection of not many fish out there. The sport season ended up producing landings were 530 salmon, so it was a good season, it was successful. And just the first weekend alone, there was 1,009 angler trips. That's individual anglers that fished either one or 2 days of that season. So there was a there was a huge participation. The commercial season was scheduled to go 20 days, but today was the last day because their 300 fish allocation has been caught as well. So the season was successful on the sport end and the commercial end. If you didn't notice, the motels both weekends were full, a lot of no vacancy signs, RV parks were a lot busier, restaurants were busy. It's only a 4-day sport salmon season, but a huge economic impact. And then, as many of you know, the rockfish season for sport anglers closed early this year in September because of the black rockfish impacts. This year our limit was seven rockfish with a sublimit of 6 black rockfish. Next year, according to ODFW, most likely the limit for sport fishing is going to be reduced to 5 total rockfish. There's a possibility that it will be 6 rockfish during the off season, but if that happens during the peak season, which is June, July, August, it would go down to just 4 fish. So, you know, that could be a pretty big blow to the sport fishing industry in Brookings and also the tourist industry. And it looks like best case scenario, we're looking at 5 rockfish. 2019, a little bit of relief on the way. The blue rockfish allocation for Oregon is going to increase from 30 metric tons to 100 metric tons, so tripling. That possibly could lead to another increase in the rockfish limit, but at the same time, the black rockfish allocation is going to decrease from 390 metric tons to 380 metric tons. And then for lean cod, we're leaving a lot of lean cod on the table that we should be able to catch, but we're not. Our allocation that's set by the federal government in Oregon, we're only catching 33% of our allocation with the 2 fish limit, but the Department of Fish and Wildlife doesn't want to increase that because of the impacts on yellow eye rockfish. So the takeaway from this is the ocean salmon season was a big success, only 4 days, and the rockfish limits are going to go from most likely from 7 rockfish a day to 5 rockfish a day beginning next year. And that's just what the Department of Fish and Wildlife is considering, and that's pretty much the only option it's considering.
Good report, Andy. I would like to thank all the vendors that took on the chore of all the events this summer for the first season. I feel, and I'm sure I have a lot of support in saying that I think it was a big success, and would like to thank all of you. I think it was great. Even right down to this level, we have 2 tents this year, this last weekend, Roger, 3 tents.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah, so you drug it to the end. So look forward to doing that again and get your paperwork filled out early. Let's have another upcoming great season. Jim?
Thank you. So I also went to the Oregon Public Ports Association meeting in Portland, and I found it very educational and eye-opening. Lot of good sessions. We had legislative updates. We got to meet our lobbyists. We had some training sessions on data security and getting to chat with the other ports and see what they do and hear their current reports on current business was fairly eye-opening for me, and I thought it was a very valuable trip. Appreciate staff for allowing me to carpool with them, and one of the legislative updates kind of stuck with me, and that is that the Oregon legislature is considering a carbon tax. It's a carbon cap and trade program. It is not super favorable for rural counties because we tend to drive more because we're rural. And so it would probably have a fuel tax component. What I get out of that discussion, though, is that the other side of that, I don't think we're going to, here at Curry County, going to stop whatever the legislature's going to do. So if it passes, the other side of it is $700 million a year in new green infrastructure and energy dollars available for, I assume, grants. And I am starting a visioning process of how, not necessarily through the board, because the board hasn't discussed this, but I'm just personally looking at how can we get our chunk, because we're going to need to get something coming back to us here if this thing passes. And so you may hear more from me as that develops down the road. This bill is in the conceptual stage. It has not passed. We don't know the details, but that's the legislative concept, and I'll be watching it closely. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, the last month we've had a lot of field trips. I got to go up to IFA and meet with, and IFA are the people that we owe all our money to right now, and they seem very pleased. Not only does Gary email all of us the monthly or the weekly report, it goes to a lot of people up in IFA and others. And what I got out of that was they are reading those reports, they are reading the newspapers, they are watching us closely, and they are very pleased at this point. And so we just need to keep doing what we're doing, and we're headed in the right direction. It looks like we're about $330,000 in our arrears payments, and if everything goes like we all hope it has, and it is all in the works, we will be caught up in our arrears payments by the first quarter of next year. And that's just around the corner, so that is a huge accomplishment. Yeah. And so that was very good. Went up to Portland for the Port Council, and that was good. It was good education. It was very good networking. Gary and I attended South Coast Fishermen's Association meeting last month, and they are the group that is that put in for the grant to redo and upgrade our fish cleaning station. And it's really good to be just kind of mending some fences, and we are attending tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's all I have. So, meeting adjourned.
Good meeting.
Gary, is that all 14 pipe left out there?
Oh. Yeah, there's some 12 minutes. Yeah.